We're so glad you joined us today. There is so much that God wants to do in and through you, and we want to hear about it. Please take a moment to share your story with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.
So, as we go live with Instagram and that kind of thing, I want to welcome you here today. I'll tell you, it is an amazing day to be in the house of the Lord. There's no ice on the road. There's no rain on the road. I know we've got several folks that are out sick and that kind of thing. It's kind of the season for that. And somebody's season. It's not going to be my season. I'm going to walk around that way. But last week, man, we had church last week. Last week was good. If you missed last week, absolutely, you clap for it. God was good. But I'll tell you, you know, there's just such a spirit of anticipation and revival happening in our church. I don't think it's something we're praying for. I think it's something we're walking in. Does that make sense? That God is renewing and reviving and restoring us, that we're growing, not just numerical, because if all we had was numerical growth, then really it would be empty growth. Does that make sense? But we see a generation that's rising up, that's coming closer and closer to the Lord as the Lord comes closer and closer to us, because you can't be around very long and not realize that we are very, very close to the Lord's return. So with that in mind, it was funny. I met with Kelly, who is our youth leader, worship leader. That wouldn't make sense at all. Sorry, Kelly, but that would not fly. So Kelly leads our youth with her team and just does a clapping going on. There you go. We love our leaders. Yeah. And so she was telling me about a message and a series that they're in right now, and they were talking about the future and vision and that kind of thing. And she said, you know, it came from a message you preached just a couple of weeks ago. And we talked about it at length. And man, the more I sat and listened to her talk about the message that I preached, the more I got excited about it. And then I listened to the word that she preached, and I got even more excited about her word. And then, so this is a word that comes from a word that comes from a word. Does that make any sense? Because what dawned on me is this, is we're in a new year, and the first thing that people do is begin to make New Year's resolutions, and they begin to talk about all this stuff and that kind of thing. And historically, I looked at a bunch of data, is that by February, about 82%-ish of all New Year's resolutions will already be thrown away. Krispy Kreme has already posted this. Yes, I follow Krispy Kreme. I'm not even ashamed to admit it. But on their social media post, they put that while most New Year's resolutions have to do with being more healthy, that everybody needs a cheat day. And there's this delicious picture of a cream-filled, chocolate-covered donut with a bite out of it. And I looked at it. I'm not even on a diet. And I was like, I need a cheat day. I need a cheat day from whatever I'm not doing, you know? But it really caused me to look and say, you know what? Here's what I realized. You can't get anywhere that you don't plan on getting to. It's impossible. Matter of fact, these aren't from the Bible, but P.K. Barnard said this. He said, a man without a vision is a man without a future. A man without a future will always return to his past. And I thought, how cyclical is that, or how descriptive is that of most Christians spend their entire life getting better, getting better, getting better, getting better, getting better. Oh, little issue, getting worse, getting worse, getting worse, getting worse, getting worse. Now I'm back at the bottom again. So let me work and get better and get better and get better and get better. Oh, I'm doing better. I'm doing better. Oh, I'm doing a little worse. I'm doing a little worse. How did I get here? Oh, my goodness, I'm back at the beginning. And they spend their entire life going around this one tree. As a matter of fact, I love this quote. It's another one of my favorites. It says, it's by Clady Keith, and it says this. It said, a knife cuts because it has a narrow focus. I was like, that's good. Especially if you're a guy, because you had me at knife. You know what I'm talking about? You're talking about dangerous weapons here. You had me. And said, you know what? The reason that a knife can cut is because it's focused. And if you've ever sharpened a knife, you know that you have to hone the blade. The more you hone a knife, the more you get an edge on the knife. The more focused the knife becomes, the sharper it becomes. And here's the thing. A knife isn't trying to be a gun. A knife isn't trying to be everything else. A knife is doing what a knife was created to do. And the more it hones its creative purpose, the sharper it becomes. I was sitting there during worship, man, they were killing that last song. The worship team was smoking it. Give them a round of applause. They did great. Yes, yes. And they're on there, and they're doing that. The drums are banging, and I'm like all out of rhythm, but I'm feeling it. You know what I'm talking about? Because I'm super white, and no, it's true. No rhythm at all. I try, but it's the one gift. Anyway, and I was sitting there, and I was like, man, I'd love to be able to play the drums, and I'd love to be able to play the keys, and I'd love to be able to sing, and I'm watching TJ shred a little bit, and the Lord looked at me, and he said, you know what? People spend their whole life focused on what they wish they could do, but aren't created to do. So today we want to talk about, what are you created to do? What is your vision? Really, the title of today's message is, okay is not okay. Matter of fact, I have a quick video I want you to watch. It's actually a popular commercial, so if you guys will, let's go ahead and take a look at that.
Have you ever worked with Dr. Francis? Oh, yeah. He's okay.
Just okay?
Guess who just got reinstated?
Well, not officially. Nervous?
Yep.
Yeah, me too. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out.
I'll see you in there. Just okay is not okay.
When I watched this commercial, I was sitting there and I was like, okay, it's just not okay. How many times do you ask somebody how they're doing and they go, I'm okay? Can I translate that? Okay, oftentimes by definition, is translated into mediocre. How are you doing, mediocre? How are you doing? I'm doing average. Do you want to live a life where you are created for greatness, but settle for okay? You settle for average. You spend your entire life focused on what you can't do rather than doing what you can do. Scripture tells us this. It's in Numbers 13:33. The children of God are getting ready to take the promised land, and they walk in and they're looking at it for the first time, and it says, but we saw giants and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. There's a comma there. And so were we in their sight. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so means because of. So because we saw ourselves as being less than, we became less than to the world around us. We couldn't have what God promised us because in our own sight, we weren't good enough. I don't think that because I understand that God is not a respecter of persons, that your limits are not bound by God's want to in your life. God wants to do amazing things in your life. He may not want to do the same thing in your life that He wants to do in everybody else as far as giftings. Like I look at TJ and I go, man, TJ has a gift for worship. Liz has a gift for worship. Brandon, Michael, our vocalist, all those people have a gift for worship. God may not call me to worship, but that doesn't mean that God isn't calling me to the same depths of places. Does that make any sense? It may not look exactly like what the Lord's calling somebody else to do, but the Lord doesn't cookie cut callings. You're not supposed to look like everybody else. My wife and I at Christmas, when we first got married, we would make cookies together. You know those little stamps, right? You get them at the dollar store, cookie cutters. Man, my wife would go through there and she'd go, pick them up, and all them little men had hands and arms and heads. I go, and my dude looked like he'd been in a traffic accident. And I'd lay him on the cookies and or on the sheet, and she'd be like, honey, we got people coming over. You're going to have to re-roll that and do it again. Six little more men got on the cookie tray. I'm like, pull him out, traffic accident. And finally, she looked at me, and she said, you're not helping. And I'm like, but honey, I'm not doing it on purpose. It's not like I'm doing it because the football game's on, but I pull him up, and now he looks like I broke his neck. His neck's like that long now, and his body's way down. And she's like, honey, it's okay. You just don't have a gift for it. So part of figuring out your vision is figuring out your gifts. Does this make sense? But you'll never find your gift until you find your vision. Is this making any sense to you? Watch this. Scripture says this, Proverbs 29, 18 says, where there's no revelation, that's a prophetic vision or a vision or understanding from God, people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Well, you've got to understand this, is that vision gives purpose to pain. When you understand what the Lord is trying to do in you, and here's the thing, it says where there's no vision, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to get an idea of where you're going. In the morning, you're going to wake up, and if you're not blessed enough to have a garage, your car's going to be outside, and you're going to wake up in the morning, and in North Carolina, it's supposed to be like 14 degrees. That may be a bit of an exaggeration, but it's in the teens. And you're going to walk out to your car. You're going to start your car. You're going to sit down in the driver's seat. And as you shiver, you're going to look through the windshield, and you're going to make a revelation of something. That there is frost on your window and that you cannot move safely. We've all done the whole driving, right? Where you think it's okay. That's either a person, a dog, or the road. We're just going to keep going. Oh, well, that's somebody's front yard. Let's get back over here. But you know what? How many times do we live our life without vision? So here's my real question. If I looked at you and I said, okay, it's the beginning of a new year, and really I celebrate new things. I like to celebrate things in general. I like to look at opportunities to reset. Because I think God is the God of reset, because he said, my mercies are new for you every day. It's not because it's a new year that God wants you to kind of get off to a good start. It's just a great excuse to. But here's the question. What are you trying to accomplish? Most people go to the gym and they go, I want to get healthy. Okay, well, what are you trying to get healthy? Are you trying to get, like, ripped healthy? Or are you trying to get, like, I'm not going to have a heart attack healthy? Are you trying, no, I'm serious. Are you trying to get, like, cardio healthy? Are you, can I get a witness? Or are you trying to get, like, I'll be back. You know what I'm talking about? Where are you trying to? Because if you don't have a vision for it, you're not going to know how to exercise. Because let's be honest, there's Lance Armstrong fit, Michael Phelps fit, and then there's Rambo fit. There's The Rock fit. Please, ladies, don't react. Please, just stop. That's a whole different. I got women going. But you know what? If you don't have a vision for what that looks like, you're going to go into the gym, and here's what's going to happen. You're going to work out for 2 weeks. You're going to get sore, and you're going to quit. Can I apply this to your faith walk? Man, this year I'm going to get serious with the Lord. I'm going to get serious with the Lord. I'm going to start reading my Bible. Where are you going to start? Leviticus? I don't know. I'm just going to open my Bible, and wherever it falls, I'm just going to let the Lord lead me. I'm just going to let the Lord lead me wherever he wants. Well, wait a minute. I believe that the Lord can lead you. But just opening it, letting it fall may not be the best plan you can come up with. Are you feeling? You know what? I want to know the Lord. Okay, well, you know what? Now I know that I'm going to start reading my Bible, and I'm going to focus in on who Jesus is. So now I got it narrowed down really to four books of the Bible, right? Because Matthew, Mark, Luke, John are actually the telling of the story of Christ. But if you start in Matthew, you're going to be asleep before you get who he came from. Because pretty much it starts with Adam. And Adam had a son. Who had a son? Who had a son? Who had a son? Who had a... And then the next day you're going to be like, well, you know, I read my Bible, but I really didn't get anything. But I'm going to pick up where I was. Who had a son? Who had a son? Who had a son? Who had a nap? And by the third day you're going to be like, ooh, ESPN's on. And around the tree you will go. Are you feeling me? So how do you break it? You get a vision for what you're really trying to do. So now I understand that not only do I want to read my Bible, but I want to understand who Jesus is. So you know what? Maybe instead of starting in Matthew, I'm going to start with John, because John kind of gets to the story pretty quick. And then not only am I going to begin to do it, I'm going to ask my spouse or my friend or somebody at work. I'm going to be like, look, man, we got to get close to God, but we can't do it on our own, because we found out during our worship that a three-wound cord isn't easily broken. So you got God, you got you, and you got a friend. Now you're winding stuff together, because inside of Christianity, we understand that strength comes through community, comes through connection. You ever try to work out on your own? It's hard to encourage yourself. You got it, you got it, you don't have it, you don't have it. You will talk yourself out of the weight. If you lift weights like I do, some 80-year-old woman goes, here, I got that for you. We'll just re-rack it. You're good. As you get a vision for what you're, you know what, Lord, I'm tired of being hurt. I'm tired of being broken. I'm tired of the pain, okay? It's just time to move forward. I may still hurt, but I'm going to move forward. Does this make sense? Because if you're going to work out, you're going to be sore. You heard the expression, no pain, no gain. The same is true in your spiritual walk. If you're not walking through something, you're probably not walking. I can give that to you again if you want to catch it because it's good. If you're not walking through something, you're probably not walking at all. But God gives pain to your purpose. I'm sorry. He gives purpose to your pain. Because as you begin to identify what you're trying to accomplish, you know what, Lord? Not only am I going to draw close to you, but let me begin to set vision. Let me begin to set who I want to be in you. Are you tracking with this? As a dad, I want to be this. As a husband, I want to be this. As an employee, I want to be this. As an employer, I want to be this. As a follower of Christ, I want to be this. Inside my church community of believers, I want to be and do this. And now I've got a vision. So if I wake up in February and I go, man, I want to be in shape, but I ain't going to the gym and I'm still eating number sevens. With a vision, what can I do? I correct. And maybe this time, instead of eating good for 2 weeks, I eat good for 3. Oh, let the Spirit move in the house. And then I fall off the wagon, but I've got my vision in front of me. So guess what I do? I step right back into my... Because the Word says that without a vision, where there's no prophetic understanding of where God's trying to take you, people perish. What does that mean? That means that not only do you not get where you're going, the people you were supposed to impact will never get where they're supposed to go. There's so much riding on you that if you don't realize it, if you don't get a vision for it, not only will you train wreck and cause your life to be so cyclical and okay, it can be so much more. You are not created to be ordinary. You were created to be extraordinary, to do extraordinary things. And what you're doing is you're sitting there and you're going, not me, because you're seeing yourself as a grasshopper in your own sight. What if for one month you said, you know what? Not only am I going to get a vision, but I'm going to confess who God said I am over me, because He said, I've called you to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Unique, holy, set apart to do something, right? Because anything you set aside for something. Have you ever wanted to go on a vacation, what do? You start squirreling money away. You want a new TV, you start squirreling money away. You need a new fridge, you squirrel money away as quick as you can. Because if your fridge is going, you got it right. So what's important, you invest in for your future. So if you really got a vision for your life, what would you begin to do differently? What does the God version of you really look like? Like if you really got you out of the way for a minute and took all your excuses and just stowed them somewhere, what does the God version of you really look like? Like if you quit listening to what your mama said and what your friend said and what your third cousin on your uncle's side said, what if you really for one minute got rid of every excuse you had and you said, here's what the God version of me would look like? What if that became your vision and your template for where you're trying to go? What if we took 1 month and we said, you know what? What we're going to do as a collective, as a church, as a ministry, as a body, here's what we're going to do. We're going to work on being, as individuals and as a church, we're going to work on being the best version of us, with the most godly vision we can come up with everything we know about God. Here's what I think I'm supposed to look like. And I'm going to try to develop the habits in my life to become what I feel like God really created me to be. If you gave that 30 days, what do you think you would look like in 30 days? If vision gives purpose to pain, then habits give vision a path. Here's what I believe. I believe that as you get vision, you'll understand why you went through what you went through. Because I'm going to tell you what, the stuff that I thought was going to kill me actually made me. Because when somebody comes in and goes, man, I'm broken. I know you probably don't understand. I'm like, I probably got your pain in trumps. Now, we're not comparing pain to pain. I'm not belittling your pain because pain is pain. I had a kidney stone one time, and every nurse walked in and told me, I've had like five of them. Every time I went to the ER, they said, it's the closest thing you ever have to delivering a baby. Closest thing you ever have to delivering a baby. Closest thing you ever have to delivering a baby. So have you ever cursed at your child and left it at the hospital? No, then it's not like delivering a baby, is it? It's nothing like it. It just hurts. There's no good thing at the end except it's gone. If you feel that way about your parent, your child, please put it up for adoption. You're not the home. That child needs to spend it forever in. Can I just get a witness on that? I didn't ask for this. I didn't plan this. I didn't even give this a name other than Satan. These are not connected. But you know what? After I had been through a few, I was looking at the Lord. I was looking at the Lord one time. I was like, Lord, why did I have to go through this? He said, because you had to understand that minor stuff is something that's happening to somebody else. You ever heard this? Oh, it's no big deal. It's minor surgery. Do you know who said it? Not the person that was getting cut on. Oh, it's just a kidney stone. Let me tell you something. I passed a car out of my body. I understand pain. But when God gives purpose to pain, He gives a path to vision. Does this make sense? Oh, God, I get it. So you didn't let me walk through this because you didn't love me. You let me walk through it because you were leading me here. I get it. I get that the spot between Egypt and the promised land was my proving ground. It was the place where I got vision for the promised land. Does this make sense to you? That maybe everything you did in 2018 that you thought was going to break you was actually there to give you vision so that you could get to where you were supposed to be. And maybe the pain that you thought was going to kill you is actually there to help define you. Because once you have a vision, vision not only tells you where you are going, vision tells you where you're not going. Let's say that in my vision for my life, I go in and I say, you know what, I'm going to be a joyous person. That means that when my wife picks on me, because every time she picks a movie, it's sad. She's glaring at me, man. I got to stop with this. It is some sad mess. Like, I like romantic comedies. Like, I do. I like shoot 'em up movies. I like, but man, like sad stuff makes me sad. No, I mean, it's ironic. People go, why don't you watch a scary movie? I'm like, because it's scary. Why don't you get a dog that bites? Because it bites. I mean, there's some things that are kind of, anyway, I'm just saying. And I looked at her. I looked at her and said, in the middle of the movie, I'll pause it. Like, y'all want to finish watching this? Because it's sad. I don't want to be sad. I don't want to be scared. Life is scary and sad enough on its own for me not to rent it. Or pay for it. And Brandon and my wife look at me and go, really? Really? You're going to pause it in the it's going to get better or it's a horrible movie. Okay. Because part of my vision for my life is not to invite sadness and frustration and joy. I'm sorry, I want joy. So if I want joy as a vision, then sadness and other stuff can't be invited. Because vision tells you who to invite to the party, but vision also tells you who not to invite to the party. Do you have that relative that if you know if they show up, the party's over? I spend my life trying not to be that guy. So when you ever had your kids, you get ready to plan a party, and they're like, hey, does Uncle so-and-so have to come? Or does Cousin so-and-so have to come? Or do y'all have to come? You know, as parents, there are all kinds of... So my point is this. Vision, because your child has a vision for what they want that party to look like, right? So not only do they know who to invite, they know who not to invite. If you ever got ready to go out on a date with your spouse and your child wants to tag along, and dad, that's not what you had in mind. And you look at that child with as much love and compassion as you can and you go, no. Then your wife makes you feel bad and you look at her and you go, no. That doesn't fit the vision for tonight. Because vision tells you not only who to invite to the party, but who not to invite to the party. Have you ever noticed that if you really observe this, this would control what you watch and what you listen to. And I can prove it to you. Have you ever gotten mad at somebody and you jump in your car and you're getting ready to leave? You don't turn on classical music. Now you turn on some mean driving music, right? And you play it loud. And you don't want, you're not playing like Air Supply. I'm all out of love. I'm so mad. Right? No, you're listening to like dun 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 dun, right? I mean, you want some like kill somebody music. Because you're mad and you want to feed the mad. You ever been in a depressed mood? You don't turn on the Barney mixtape. I love you, you love me, we're... Stop. Some of us live through the same generation of children. No, if you're in a romantic mood, well, I won't even tell you what I listen to, but you put on some smooth groove, right? And if you're in a sad mood, you put on some tear-jerking stuff, right? Because vision tells you what to watch and what to listen to. So when we say get a vision for your life, this isn't just like some pie in the sky thought process. This is legitimate. Get a piece of paper and a pen and do work, son. Big Black, if you never watched MTV, you have no idea what I'm talking about. You're way too spiritual for that. Rob and Big Black. Big Black would look at Rob and he'd say, do work, son. And you know what that meant? Do something. You can complain about your life or you can order and direct your life towards God. Or you can just let it happen. The problem in a lot of Christendom is we just let life happen. I'm just letting the Lord lead me. Look, you can let the Lord lead you, but He can give you a direction, north, south, east, or west. If you get off, God is God enough of correction. Do you agree that there's enough content in the Word of God to give you vision? Now, here's the thing. Liz reads about worship, and she reads it from a different perspective than I read about it because it's part of her gifting. Does that make sense? But I read the Word and preaching of the Word with a lot more magnification than other people might listen to it because it's part of my gifting. Wendy reads hospitality a whole lot different. I'm not the hospitality guy. I don't care if you drink coffee or not. Just get the Word. Have life change. Grab your donut and go. Let's just keep the line moving. Come on, that's my hospitality. Let's go. Grab a donut and go. Get a couple. Split a cup. Y'all know each other? Yeah, just wipe the cup off. You won't get anything, I promise. The Lord is in this place. Right? Wendy's going, you can't do that, right? I'm up here going, Liz, I love worship, but come on, let's leave time for the Word. Liz is going, you know, how much Word do these people really need? Let's just worship the Lord. Make sense? Godly vision says there's a place for all of it. And as I, as a pastor, begin to value all of it, I bring balance to the church. Your life is the same way. All Word and no worship, you're out of balance. Well, I'm not a worshiper. Great, you got part of your vision. Number one thing, I need to learn to worship. No, I'm really not making it up. If I ask the average Christian, hey, what's your vision for your life? They go, I don't know, just serve the Lord and be faithful. Well, here's your children's church cookie. These are adults, right? Mature in the Lord. What's your vision? Who is God calling you to be? What's He challenging you with? What's He calling you to tighten up? What's He calling you to loosen up? What needs to go out of your life? What do you need to invite in? Because you can't invite something into you, put something out. There's got to be space. Well, I'm so busy. Okay, well, great. I need to learn to manage my time. Well, these kids need to do less. Because if there's not enough time for you to be in the Word because of your kid's schedule, guess what else there's not time in your kid's schedule for? Yeah, but I don't want to rob my children of an experience. Don't send your kids to hell either because you schedule God out of their life. What's the again, vision for my kids. What's the number one thing? What's the best thing you can do as a parent is not get your kid into Harvard, because I've met your kids. They're not going to Harvard to begin with. I'm just kidding. Some of them are pretty smart. I got parents looking at their kid going, well, he ain't talking about you, sunshine. What's the best thing you can do? The best thing you can do is instill your Jesus core values in your kids. Prayer, reading the Word, integrity. Make sense? Fruits of the Spirit. That's more important than them getting a soccer trophy. I'm making people uncomfortable now. It's okay. You don't have to see me for a week. My kid's got to go to dance class. But if dance class is taken away from their ability to have some time with the Lord that day, then only one thing can be God of their life. What are you going to teach them? I remember when my son did his first year of college exams, and he was freaking out a little bit. I'm like, son, just be sure to do your devotional tonight and pray. And he's like, Dad, I got so much studying to do. And he's like, and I watched it dawn on him. And he's like, you know what, you're right. I'm going to listen to the Word going to bed. He said, because if God can't help me remember it, I sure can't do it on my own, because it was instilled in him. Does this make sense? Now, just, he passed, so that was a good thing. If vision lets us see our future, the way we see ourselves that's flawed becomes a scratch in the windshield. You ever had like something fly up and hit your car? Kelly, our youth leader, has had more stuff happen to her car in a year than I have had in probably 10 years. I mean, she's hit like if you own an animal, don't invite her over to your house. Take her out somewhere. Take her near a... She's replaced windshields and spoilers and painted cars, and like she'll sit at a red light and stuff will randomly run into her. I mean, it's like, I don't know, but it's not good. But have you ever had a spider crack in your window and you can still see through it? It's not like that frost in the morning that just kills everything, but it just distorts what you're seeing. See, the enemy doesn't always have to rob your vision. He has to just distort your view. Are you seeing yourself the way that God wants you to see yourself? And what do you think God would argue about that you say? Can I give you an example? I'm so stupid. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm about as smart as a burned out light bulb. What? I'm about as bright as a burned out light bulb. But wasn't it God who said, if anyone lacks wisdom, have them ask? Golly, look at me. I'm so... Ladies, finish this because you probably said it this week. Fearfully made. My wife is a cheater on the message front. Women of God, I'm so fat. No, you're not. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. I didn't say that. God said it. Now, if you want to go to the gym and lose a couple pounds, you do it because you want to and because it makes you feel better about you. But there's nothing wrong with you because a number in the back of your pants doesn't define you. God does. You should have started clapping on that. I'm just telling you, that's legit. Men, your job doesn't define you. God defines you. Your ex doesn't define you. You define you because I'm wonderful. And if you didn't like me, I guess something's wrong with you. Makes sense. Now, Lord, if there's something I need to change, you reveal it to me, but I'm wonderful. That's freedom right there, man. That's like shuck off some chains and let's get going with the future. Does this make sense? So, God, what do you say about me? You say I'm wonderful. Do I act like I'm wonderful? Do I invest in myself like I'm wonderful? Do I seek you, the author and finisher of my faith? Do I go to the person who's writing my story daily, hourly, momently, and get them to and get their opinion in their body? Does this make any sense to you? That's vision. Okay, I get up this morning, and vision helps me figure out when I get it right and when I get it wrong. Oh, I'm going to bed. I'm in condemnation because I don't feel like I lived up to any of these. Okay, guess what you get to do in the morning? It's a new year. Blow the horn. Stay up to midnight. It's a new year. Start over. Anybody here pretty religiously go to the gym? I got one teenager. They went. And she was afraid to raise her hand. Y'all are going to judge me, aren't you? No, I'm just putting my hand back down. That's all there is to it. Here's the thing. If you go to the gym and you miss 3 days, you know what you do? You just go on the fourth. And if you get 3 days strung together or every other day is probably better for you and you miss a couple of days, guess what you do? Just go back. You get up one morning, you figured out yesterday you ate 3 number 6s. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner through a drive-thru, and you're trying to be healthy, guess what you do the next day? You just start eating healthy. And if you eat healthy for 4 days and you fall off the wagon, guess what you do? You just get back on the wagon. The funny thing about the wagon is it'll be right where you got off of it. Vision keeps us from quitting. Does this make sense? But the average Christian doesn't know what they want to look like. How can you ever, I mean, it's almost fundamental, but how can you expect to achieve something you don't have any idea what it looks like? Watch this. The word of the Lord says this. It says, when the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on the tablets, that he who may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end will speak. It will not lie, though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It says this, it says, first thing, you got to write down your vision. She said, write down your vision. Write down your vision. Write your vision down. Why? So that people can read it, so that you can read it, so that people understand it. Now, in this case, it wasn't necessarily a great vision for everybody involved. But here's the point. Write your vision down. The vision may tarry, but it won't really tarry. Because if you read that scripture, that's kind of what it says. It may not come immediately, but it's not going to take forever. If you start going to the gym, you're not going to go from Urkel to Schwarzenegger overnight. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. You're not going to go from the dude at the Apple store to the dude at GNC overnight. Some of y'all don't even know what GNC is, do you? You're not going to go from a skinny dude to a ripped dude overnight. Is that fair enough? You're not going to go from... But it's built one day at a time on the gym. I followed boxing for a little while, and some of the greatest boxers in time, when you ask them what they did, they said, I took a picture of a former champ and stuck him on my mirror so that every day when I looked at myself, I had to see the champ. Because I knew I could never be the champ until I saw myself as the champ and until I did the things that other champions did. You want to be a man or woman of great faith, then you have to do what you've seen other men or women of great faith do, and you've got to do it consistently. And you've got to do it till you see yourself as a man or woman of God. And then when you think you've got it, you've got to keep working at it because you're not really there yet. Does that make sense? Every day I get up and try to strive to be the man that I want to be, not necessarily the man that I am. What's his name? Oh, yeah. What's his name? Matthew McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey, in an interview, that they did an interview and said, tell me who your hero is. And he said, do me a favor. He said, come back and interview me in 5 years. He said, the man I'll be in 5 years is my hero. And they came back and interviewed him in 5 years and said, Matthew, you know, we asked you 5 years ago, you know, are you your hero now? And he said, no, I'm not my hero now, but give me five more years and the man that I'll be by then will be my hero. What he was really saying is every day I get up and I work my hardest to be the best that I can, and in 5 years I'll be a lot better than I am today. It's called vision. And then in 5 years, he said, man, I'm better than the dude you knew 5 years ago, but the 5 years version on down the road of me is going to be a whole lot better than what you're looking at now. That's a dude you can look up to. Does this make sense to you? But you can't get to it if you don't know what it looks like. I tell people who are looking for a spouse, hey, what are you looking for in a spouse? Man or woman of God? Okay, well, that's not really it, because if they're ugly, that ain't going to do it. Can I get a witness? Do you really want to get up every morning and go, hey, honey, oh, hey. Right? To some people, a sense of humor is important. Other people, it gets on their nerves. If you get two type A's in the same relationship, it's probably not going to work, because it's hard for both of you to talk and listen at the same time. Can I get a witness? It's great. Generally, one of you is going to be really organized and the other one's going to be me. Are you tracking with this? How are you going to know them if you don't know what you're looking for? What you're going to do is you're going to buy a lie. That was better than your reaction. How are you going to know what the best version of you looks like unless if you've got a vision for it? If you wrote your vision down, what would it look like? Because your real vision of you should really look like a God vision of you. Because if you remember the beginning of that, it says, without a prophetic vision. The word prophetic there means a God-sent vision. And you know what? What you may think is a God-sent vision today may not look like a God-sent vision tomorrow or in 5 years. Does that make sense? Because what you know today, if you're really in the presence of God for 5 years, will look nothing like what it's going to look like in 5 years. It's like this. I meet new believers and they tell me what they're struggling with, and I'm like, I mean, it's been a minute. I mean, a couple of decades in this, I kind of passed that. But if I looked at them and told them what really hurt my heart, they'd look at me and be like, I wouldn't even worry about it, right? But the five-year version of me looks a whole lot different than the... If you've known me for 5 years, I change all the time. Because I'm never going to be satisfied with who I am and what I do. I'm never satisfied with the church. I'm content, like Paul said. Whether I abound or whether I boast, I've learned to live in the moment. Learn to be content. Thank God for whatever it looks like. But that don't mean I'm going to stay here. What if you said, you know what? I may not be in the worst place in the world, but you know what? I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to grow up. I'm going to move on. I'm going to develop in my faith. I'm going to find a spouse. But not just any spouse. Because finding a spouse is kind of like finding something mysterious in the back of your fridge. It doesn't really take a lot of genius to do it. I want to find something good. You ever go in your fridge? What do you say? Do you go in there and go, I want to find something to eat? I quit saying that a long time ago. You know what I always say? I want to find something good to eat. Because my wife will push like a drug dealer on the corner vegetables and stuff. It's not what I'm looking for when I go in there. I'm not looking for vegetables. I'm looking for something good, something that used to chew grass. Something that potentially could be milk to make mirror sounds. You know what I'm talking about? I'm looking for something of substance. What if in your faith walk you said, you know what, I'm going to become a whole lot more descriptive with a whole lot more vision for who I am and where I'm going. Now, what I'm telling you probably isn't groundbreaking in and of itself. The groundbreaking part of it comes when you apply it. What would this next year really look like if you quit letting fear and doubt and the past and problems and all this define your future? What if you said, you know what, this is my vision for where I'm going, and I'm going to do everything in my power, and with God's help, at the end of this year, I'm going to look as close to this vision as I possibly can. How much different would your life look if you did that? Because I'm going to be honest with you. I think the version of you that God's getting ready to develop you into is pretty amazing. I watched The Blind Side this week because our internet was out and we stream all of our TV. And so our internet was out and we watched The Blind Side. Big Mike's tutor looked at him and he said, "I don't understand this." And she looked at him and she said, "You don't understand this yet." She said, "God created you with the same brain that he created everybody else with. We just got to teach you how to use it." God created you as spiritual and as with as many options as he created anybody else with. We just got to teach you how to use it. You've got to let God show you how to use where he planted you, how to grow where you are. Because if you remember, David went from being the son that the dad didn't even think was worthy to come to the party to the king. Jesus was what good thing has ever come from Bethlehem to Messiah. Peter went from a fisherman to the church that was built on his back. Those people never expected what God was going to do in and through them to happen. But they got a vision for it. The first thing Jesus ever said to Peter about his ministry is, "Peter, come follow me and I will make you a fisher of men." He set vision for his life. And Peter spent the rest of his life trying to figure out what Jesus meant by the vision. Does that make sense? What the fullness of it was. What is God speaking into your heart right now that he's trying to make you, that when you reach the full vision will change the world? Because I really believe it's inside of you. Father, today as we come to close, my prayer is that you let us find the purpose that you created us for. God, that you let us take the time today to sit down with a piece of paper and a pen. And God, to write down the vision that you have for our lives. God, that we would get a direction, that we would find purpose. God, that we would begin to look for the way, God, to be everything that you created us to be. Because God, just like every other thing that's ever been created in humanity, God, everything was created with a purpose. So, Father, today, let our vision lead us to our purpose. God, let it give purpose to our pain. Father, God, we just ask that right now you let vision be the mindset of us this week. God, so that we can become everything that you have for us. God, and then let our habits be the path to fulfill our vision. God, this morning, just give us the courage to author, God, to write down what you speak into our heart about who we're supposed to be. And God, for this next month, God, let us try to make it so habitually written into the fabric of who we are, God, that at the end of that month, God, it just flows out of us as part of our DNA. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning in to Thrive Church. We hope today's message touched your life. You can share your testimony with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.